15 and verse 14. Just to bring you up to date, we're looking at a series over the summer, shortened services. We may not make that target today. We've had a lot of prayer. But living under God's smile. And we're currently looking at the grace, a passage of scripture that we're all very, very familiar with. So let's read this. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Last week we looked at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We noted that it comes before the Father and the Spirit, and that the reason it does so is because it is only through the grace that we can experience and know the love of God the Father. Grace is the entry point to God's love. Next week we will look at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But this morning I want us to turn our mind to this whole idea of the love of the Father. Fundamental to our most basic human needs is love. We've already mentioned that this applies at different levels. As little Dylan grows in life, lots of things will affect him and lots of things will influence him. And people talk about circumstance and they talk about privilege and they talk about situations. But I want to tell you that the one thing that that little boy needs more than anything is love. And to know that love. And so many people in the world today need to know love. A lot of those kids who were out rioting and stealing and looting the other week, if they had love, if they understood love, even in a human sense, a lot of that would have been negated. But we're not talking about human love. We're talking about something beyond human love. We're talking about the Father's love. We're talking about God's love. Because all love is rooted in Him. Because God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And our aim this morning is to grasp this and try and understand it better, remembering all the while that our access to this love is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us that enables us to know and receive God's love in all its fullness. The first thing I want us to think about is we need a knowledge of this love. We need to know about it. And you see, it's God's intention that we do. In that love letter I've mentioned so many times this morning, 1 John 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in His love abides in God, and God abides in him. The fullness of that verse is absolutely amazing. Just take the time to sit and ponder it. And then 1 John 3, 16. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. People often talk to me about justification of the military. You know, that verse calls on us to lay down our lives in that sense for other people and to do so sacrificially. But what then are we to know about God's love? Now, when I started to prepare this, I was backing each statement up with loads and loads of scriptures. I'm not going to give you any, otherwise we'll be here to tea time. But here's what I'll say to you. If you make a note of these, and anybody who has any difficulty with any of them, come and talk to me, and I'll give you all the scriptures you need. Because what I want to say about what I'm going to talk about now, what I realized when I started to unpack this and study it, is it's impossible to narrow it down because the whole Bible is full of it from beginning to end. God's love has no regard for our merits. Verse 1. God's love this morning has no regard for how well educated you are. God's love this morning has no regard for how much you earn, for how nice a house you live in, for what sort of background you come from. None of that comes into the equation of God's love. God's love has no regard for our merits. Therefore, God's love is an electing love. A lot of people have problems with this, but let me tell you its truth. God has chosen us. That is a mystery. Some people struggle to understand it, but isn't it just as well he chose us? Because human beings are so arbitrary, we're so fickle. God has chosen us. His love is electing. His love is a declared love. You don't love someone and not tell them. Some of us have tried that, haven't we? And you explode. Is now the right time to do this? You can't love someone and not declare it. My dear wife will ask me on occasions, Jim, do you love me? And I say, you know I love you. Don't know what I do, what I say to you. Isn't it clear? She needs me to actually say to her, Debbie, I love you. So I'm not doing it in public, okay? But we need to declare our love for each other. I love each of you. Every one of you this morning. I have a special love for Debbie, but I love each of you because God has given you life and because God wants a relationship with you. And I have no choice in loving you. I can't say, well, I'm going to love Martin and Jenny, but see the Harrisons, I really struggle with them. It's not like that. Sorry, Gloria, that was only a joke, okay? Please don't take that personally. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying? God has declared his love for us. And we'll come on to it in a moment. The greatest declaration was on that cross. God's love is unshakable and God's love is faithful. Some of us blow hot and cold. You know, one of the saddest things when I talk to people or I deal with people in breakdowns and marriages and relationships, and they say, well, I just don't love them anymore. I have fallen out of love. I don't understand the chemistry of that. But we certainly do it as human beings. Maybe we don't know what it is to be in love in the first place. And we get infatuation or we get a physical attraction and we stick the label love on it. But God's love is unshakable and it's faithful. It's unchanging, never ending. God's not going to stop loving you. God's love is eternal. There's no time limit on God's love. It's going to be with us forever. God's love is immense. As far as the east is from the west. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's love. God's love is a father's love. Remember the prodigal son? Those of us that are fathers this morning, we need to model ourselves on God's love. Not our neighbors, not the people that we run around with, we hang out with. We need to model our love on our Father's love. Remember the prodigal son? Keep that in mind. That's love. That's the Father's love that God wants us to show and express. God's love is a wise love. A wise love. And for that reason, many of your prayers may go unanswered. Because he will only give you what is good for you. Do you know, a number of times recently, Debbie and I have had to say, well, you know, when we look back, we would like to have done this, but now we see how God has led us to do that. And wow, isn't it wonderful? God will only give you what is good for you. He's not holding things back for badness. He's not holding things back for spite. He's not holding things back in that sense. But he will give you what is good for you. He will give you what will bless you. He will give you what will honor him. God's love is also a chastening love. You know, lots of those kids who were running amok the other week, part of the problem is they never had any chastening love. They never had any discipline. They never had any guidelines. You discipline your children because you want them to grow and to do the right things, to make the right decisions. You don't discipline them because you're having a bad hair day. You don't discipline them because you're miffed about something or you're upset about something. You do it because you love them. And God will discipline us. Make no mistake of this. And I can't and won't apologize for it. God will discipline us. Our thing is to learn to accept that discipline, to surrender to it, to submit to it. But thirdly, the assurance and experience of the Father's love. Much is made of different gifts today. I've got this gift and I've got that gift and I would love this gift and I would like that gift. But let me suggest to you this morning, let me tell you this morning, the greatest gift is love. If God can give you one thing this morning, it's more and more and more and more and more of his love. Believe me, that's what you need more than anything else. Romans 5, verse 5 tells us, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that love that's being poured into the heart, that is the Father's love. Yes, we love each other. Yes, it overflows to other people. But it is the Father's love. The Spirit is releasing God's love in our hearts. He's helping us to grasp it. He's helping us to understand it. And the psalmist in Psalm 63, verse 3, how do you respond to that? Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Is there any greater summary of God's love than that? It is better than life. The love of God is better than life itself. Forget the cars, the house, and everything else. The greatest thing is God's love. We see this also, the Father's love, evidenced in testimony. You see, this isn't only a love that we believe in. This isn't only a love that we're taught about. We go to school and we learn that 2 and 2 make 4, and we learn our ABCs and all the rest of it, and we do those things. At my age, we did things by rote, and now that's frowned upon. But it seemed to work. The problem with Christianity is that some people just want to teach it. This is it. But the reality of Christianity is it's about experience based upon truth. It's not something fictional. It's not something made up. But it is about experience. This idea today that we can separate the objective from the subjective is absolute nonsense. If God's love doesn't affect you subjectively, you've got issues. If God's love doesn't melt your heart, you need to look at it. If God's love doesn't make you want to open your mouth and praise him, then there's something seriously wrong. Reading Christian biography is very good. It's an amazing thing. But do you know what you see in biography again and again? Testimony of God's faithfulness, of God's love in those difficult moments. And you know, that should be our story in our lives as well. And when you talk to Christians about hard times, the thing that, yeah, we all have hard times. We all have difficult times. We all have stresses. We all have strains. But you know, the testimony of the believer is God was with me. God brought me through it. He didn't leave me. He didn't desert me. God's love is written in testimony. And you know, we're looking at the New Testament. We began this series back in Numbers with the priestly blessing. And if you read your Old Testament, you will see amazing love. You will see a people who are so disobedient, a people with such a low regard for their God at times, but a people who repent and come back to God. And what does he do? He loves them. It's a testimony of Scripture. It's a testimony of Christians in history. And it should be the testimony of us in our lives. Then thirdly, in this one, the Father's love provides the Christian's assurance. Derek Prime suggests that God's love is like three things. He says it's like the sun. It's always there. It's always providing light. And right when you need to, you can look at it and actually feel its warmth on your face. That's what the love of God should be like. When Moses came off that mountain, he was glowing. Yes, the presence of God had a lot to do with that. But the love of God is like the sun. The love of God is like a fountain. No matter how often we drink from it, it will always refresh us. Always refresh us. You can't get enough of God's love. God's love isn't something you do, done that, experienced that, got the t-shirt, now I'm going to move on. Each time you drink of his love, you will be refreshed by his love. God's love is like healing medicine. In our hour of need, when nothing else will heal, we may suffer. We may suffer loss. We may suffer bitter disappointment in human relationships. But in the darkest storm, we can hear that still small voice whispering, I love you. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. There will be moments when you need God's love to just quiet your soul. Just calm down. Just listen to me. Draw near. Romans 8:35-37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Deuteronomy 33:27. Watch these little children in the mornings here, and sometimes they just need their father's arms, don't they? That's what they need. And sometimes you and I need that too. You get into situations and you can't hack it, you can't take it, and you need to flee. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I remember teaching your children to jump whenever they were small. I'd say, come on, Kirsty, come on, jump. And she'd look at me and say, Dad, will you catch me? Of course I'm going to catch you. I'm not going to tell you to jump and then go, ha ha. Megan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everlasting arms means they're there. They're going to catch you. And God's love is promising you this morning that he will catch you. And then finally, the power of the Father's love. When we pray the love of God be with us, we're asking not only for the knowledge, experience, and assurance of his love, but we're asking for its power in our lives. This love is dynamic. This love transforms. This love changes. This love can overcome all things. And the first thing we need to be aware of in this thought is reproduction. We've celebrated the birth of Dylan George. We've prayed for the birth of the new to clerk baby still in the womb. Now we need to think of God's love reproducing in us. God's love is just like the sun light hits the moon. The moon reflects it. God's love should hit us and we should reflect it. But the problem is in the church today, there are too many lunar eclipses. Too many Christians who are blocking out the light and the love of God. We are supposed to reflect God's love. Imperfect as our reflection will be. John 1:4-13. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. Do we pray for other people? Last week I challenged you to pray for your enemies. Did you do it, I wonder? Did you mean it? Did you pray for God's grace to be poured out in their lives? Then secondly, this is a powerful love. I've implied this already, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, a lot of people pick that passage in a romantic sense. It's a total misuse of it, but it is a real definition of God's love. Perfected in the Father, displayed and expressed perfectly in the Son, and revealed to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Let me just read. If you want to turn to that chapter, let me read from verse 4. And here's your litmus test this morning. Do you want to know how you're doing in the love stakes? Read this. If you can read this without being challenged, come and talk to me. I want to shake your hand. Okay? If you can read this little bit and it doesn't make you blush just a little bit, come and talk to me. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How did you do? How did you do? Long journeys, I find my mirror needs, my windscreen needs a good wipe now and again. And our mirror, our lives need a good wipe now and again, don't they? So that we can reflect God's love better. When you think you're it, when you think you've arrived, read those words. Take them off. But read them honestly and read them openly. But thirdly, a love that is sufficient for life's storms. Do you notice something about trees whenever the storms blow? A tree will stand or fall depending on its root system. And we are like that. Too many Christians today claim to be Christians, and yet when the storms of life come, they fall over like twigs. And we wonder what's wrong. The root is what holds you, and God's love is our root. And that's what we need to be held up and supported by. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's what sustains us. Fourthly, love's covering power. Peter tells us those words we use reluctantly and maybe carelessly on occasions. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since God's love covers a multitude of sins. God's love is not an excuse for your sin. It's not an excuse for your wrongdoing. But it is covered by his love. All our sins. All our wrongdoing. When we come to him in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that Christ can forgive us? God can forgive us because of what Jesus has done for us. But we struggle to forgive each other, don't we? Oh, the least little thing, we clock it up and tick it up, there's another one. We struggle to forgive each other. But if God's love is big enough for him to forgive you and me, part of the problem here is we're too self-righteous. Maybe there's a little, God's love, I deserve it. You know, I'm not a bad guy. I work hard at this game and, you know, I deserve that love. That's the problem, I don't deserve it. When I understand I don't deserve God's love, I marvel that he gives me it, and then I should be able to give it to others. Derek Prime asked the question, is God's love like the snow, or is it like the sea? Which do you think it's like? Well, you see, when it's like the snow, it's lovely, isn't it? It covers everything. Ah, it's beautiful white, isn't it? And we think of God's love like the snow. Ah, oh, it's beautiful. It just covers everything. And then the snow melts. What's left? Yuck. Yuck. I mean, the one thing I really hate is slush. You know, and snows and melt, all the dirt and all the litter and all the rubbish. And in fact, you seem to notice it all the more when it's caught up in slush, isn't it? So you have this delusion of purity with a blanket of snow, but all it does is hide the filth underneath. But when the sea comes in, as Gordon was talking about, when the sea hits a beach, it takes all the rubbish with it. It just wipes it out. It smooths all the sand. It cleans it all up. It levels it. God's love cleanses. When we talk of it covering, it's not covering in terms of put a blanket over it and we can't see it. The blanket that's been put over our sin is the righteousness of Christ. And that's what we rejoice in. And then finally, the secret of obedience. I want to be careful here. God's love is not that of some misguided parent. If you don't do this, mommy or daddy won't love you. That is appalling. And yet we can all slip into it sometimes. That's not what I'm saying here when I talk of obedience. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God's love for you and me is written in the nail prints in his hands. And it's written for all eternity. The only blemish in heaven will be the nail prints in Jesus' body. His love is real. It's there. But if we are to know God more, if we are to grow in the Father's love, the secret, guys, is obedience. This is implied in the words of Jesus in Luke 19:26. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Obedience matters. Obedience draws you closer to the Father. Because what he wants you to do is for your good. All failures in our obedience to God are failures to appreciate his love for us. When we're soaked in our Father's unfailing love, we will see that his commandments, his instructions, they are for our highest good. To obey is life, guys. To disobey is folly. So how are we to draw all this together? Let me just give you some thoughts to hang it on to close, taking stock of the Father's love. Firstly, we need to be able to identify barriers. Just as there are barriers in our relationships to receiving love, so there are barriers in our receiving God's love. Firstly, the knowledge of God's word. The Bible is the means by which God declares his love to you and I. He has written us a love letter. You only got love letters? Do you read them now and again? Occasionally? You need to read this love letter regularly. This is God's love letter to you. When you want to know what God might think, when you want to know what you need to be thinking, read this. The Bible is God's love letter to you. Engage with it. And it will increase your awareness of his love and stop the assurance of it from fading. Secondly, rejecting the Spirit. As children of God, the Holy Spirit indwells us and is present ever, educating, guiding, and leading. But when we ignore his prompting and throw off his restraint, we should not be surprised when we don't understand and know the fullness of God's love. Every single person sitting here this morning, you felt God prompting you at times to do something, and you've been disobedient. I'm suggesting that obedience to the Spirit's leading will lead to fullness of our understanding of God's love. And thirdly, failure to share the Father's love. We noted last week that grace is not given to us to put in a bank account. It's not given to us to hoard. It's given to us to share. And the Bible and the New Testament in particular go even further in terms of love. We cannot separate love for God from our love for each other. Do you understand me? You cannot sit here this morning and say, I love God, but I just can't love Frank. I mean, look at him. The man's a brummy. But you see, here's the good news, Frank. If I love God, I've got to love you too. And that's not negotiable. Do we understand, guys? You can't separate. You can't say, I love God, but I'm not going to love him and her. We've got to share his love. Because, you see, it gives us a wonderful prospect. One day, we're going to know this love in all its fullness for all eternity. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now we will see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. How are we to respond to this morning, guys? By action. We don't sit this, receive it smugly and think that's it. So when we pray, may the love of God be with us, we're asking, may we know the Father's love, may we feel assured of the Father's love, and may we display its power in our lives day by day. Let's pray. Love divine, all loves excelling. Father God, would you meet with us this morning? Lord, many of us know you. Some are struggling to know you. Others have set their hearts in rebellion against you. But Lord, your love conquers all. And I pray that your love will invade our lives this morning, will touch us right where we are, Lord, in our own circumstances and our own situations. And we pray that you would reveal the fullness of that love, that those of us who are your children may know the reality and assurance of it. Those that are struggling to know you may celebrate in revelation of it. Father, we need your love. You provide your love. Our need, our great concern, is to receive it in all its fullness, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.